Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Wednesday, August 1st, day 551 of Donald Trump's Universal Championship reign, a reign that is going to probably be longer than Brock Lesnar's reign, based on this week's Raw.
Yes.
The Raw Entertainment Show. For the people listening at home that have no idea why you're listening at home and or in your office, thank you for listening. This is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Chris Kelly and I are experts on this. We wrote a book.
It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics Into Wrestling. You can get it on Amazon and Audible at presidentwrestler.com.
Currently available for $3.16. Okay, so this episode might sound a little different. For the first time ever, we're recording in a brand new studio in downtown Washington, D.C., and we have a limited time to do this show. This relates to wrestling and presidential politics. So Chris Kelly and I both work in downtown Washington, D.C., but you'd be surprised to find out that it is not our paying job to do a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling, but we do have to share offices with people that you might not associate with professional wrestling or presidential politics. So we have a tight time limit because the Concerned Women of America...
The Concerned who?
The Concerned Women of America. They're a small but powerful group. They feel GLOW is too sexual, you know, especially for children that might be watching.
You know, and the senseless violence, explicit and tasteless sexuality...
No.
And promotion of the occult seen on GLOW can have a lasting and dangerous effect on the youth of this country.
Wait, who's promoting the occult?
Sheila.
Have this room in roughly a half an hour,
yeah.
And they probably would not be a fan of the current product of WWE.
I think that's wrong, because
okay.
I think they love Evolution, which have we talked about?
We have not talked about Evolution.
Let's just, it's not the big show, but since the rest of our outline... it's just the same old stuff we've been talking about for like 2 years.
Yes, we got to run it back. There's a pay-per-view coming up. We got to run the same show over and over.
That's what happens when you only watch wrestling for the last few years. You think the way that WWE does things is the right thing.
You
think the way that the Trump administration, not their goals, but the way that we have the same stories. It's been a long infrastructure week, as always. Yeah, let's start with the Evolution.
Evolution is a mystery.
Last week's Monday Night Raw, Stephanie McMahon, who invented women's wrestling, announced a pay-per-view, October 28th, I believe, called WWE Evolution.
That is correct.
Which will be an all-women match pay-per-view, the first ever.
Which is surprising because at one point SmackDown was supposed to be all women.
That was very loosely rumored.
Okay.
So this is their big kind of capping off the last couple years of the women's revolution, which was... First the Divas Revolution, then Women's Revolution, and now Women's Evolution is their branding. Basically in the product how, you'll be able to read about this soon in the Washington Post, but basically how the women went from having a 30-second match on Raw to now having their own pay-per-view.
That's a wonderful tease from Chris Kelly about what you'll be able to read in the Washington Post soon.
Yes. And like
is that all I could say?
Oh, probably like the Sunday before SummerSlam.
Oh, very cool. Very
yes.
cool. Okay, so I'm excited about this. Are you excited about this?
Yeah.
Have you been fantasy booking this?
I think it'll start to come together after SummerSlam when we see who has titles. And we can talk about that with our as we continue on the road to SummerSlam.
Do you think this happens without GLOW? The mainstream Netflix show that's been nominated for a lot of Emmys.
Yes.
And for season two, the cast of GLOW was on SmackDown.
Yes. I think this all started before that. And they were looking for ways. If you look, I went back and looked at that first Divas Revolution promo, the Stephanie cut, when she brought out Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, kicked this all off. What she does mention in that, and that was summer 2015.
Wasn't that like in the midst of the Women's World Cup that everyone was in
it
love
was,
with?
She mentions World Cup, UFC, and tennis, because it's always the Williams sisters.
Yes.
U.S. World Cup, Women's World Cup was huge, and then obviously Ronda was kind of, she was still at her peak, and still, you know.
Absolutely.
She
and it was
hadn't
just after
knocked.
She appeared in Mania, isn't it, right, in Santa Cruz?
Was that 2014?
I think it was 2015.
Possibly. Yeah. But she had, yeah, so she was already on the radar, which now Ronda Rousey will probably be headlining this event in some form. Yeah, I mean, there's some, you know, it's curious if they do this. They didn't announce it yet, but it has been rumored that they will start doing women's tag titles, which would help this kind of glut we have, or that they have, where they somehow can't tell stories for women otherwise. I mean, we've had this Bayley and Sasha story for months. Mm-hmm. Now they're a tag team, so why not put belts on them? I mean,
it's great.
Give them another story. They're our team. Is your favorite team, the Iconics, on SmackDown? Yeah.
The Raw had some decent women's wrestling, like always, because anytime Bayley and Sasha are wrestling, it's great.
Yeah.
And this week there was two matches that were pretty good on SmackDown.
Yeah.
One of which was like real wrestling, and one of which was two valets wrestling.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Sure. And they're both trained. I mean, Zelina Vega has wrestled, and Lana has had a couple matches.
So. Could I? Here's a thing we have not talked about, so we might as well start doing it on the show. Is Zelina Vega the most intimidating woman to most wrestling fans that are men?
Why?
Because she is so fucking powerful and cool, and like, she's the manager that's actually stronger than her client. You know what I mean? She reminds me of like an 80s manager that's, I can't even think of an example. I can't think of one manager where I thought was better than their client except her.
Yeah, well, she's not better because
he's amazing in the ring.
Yeah, not saying that they could not head-to-head, but pound for pound, and since she weighs about 70 of them, mm-hmm. so she might be more valuable. She's great on the mic. She has a real, fire to her promos.
Yeah.
And when she has gotten involved, it hasn't been the typical valet interference.
Yeah.
It hasn't even manager interference. It's like, oh, I'm going to throw a hurricane run and knock someone's head into the steps. So she's done real
action. Okay, so who is she taking that from, or is this brand new? It can't be brand new. There's got to have been a manager that was just as
like
strong.
Lita at some point.
Okay, there you go, Lita.
The Hardys and would have been like that.
But would there have even been the Lita situation if there was what the current product has now, where there's enough women where you don't have to have a valet situation? Does this make sense?
A little bit, but I think the Lita thing is like, it's just going backwards because that was... A lot of why they can even do what they do now is because of Lita.
All right. Well, final word about Evolution is it's only named this because it was Triple H's Stables theme song.
And his name of his stable.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, Triple H, and Batista, and Randy Orton, what I think about when I think about women.
All right. Moving on. Is this the big show of the week?
Sure.
The big show of the week.
Well, it's a big show.
Collusion is not a crime. But that doesn't matter because there was no collusion except by Crooked Hillary and the Democrats. Okay, how is no collusion not a WWE pay-per-view or a Ring of Honor pay-per-view? Come on, that's perfect.
Yeah, or just
no
feel
tag
like
teams.
Some I feel like that you're even going a step further. I feel like there's some indie that we'll call it.
No collusion. It's all tag teams, but it's a round robin style tournament to determine who is the best individual.
Okay, there you go. You've just booked it. Local promoters, get it, Brandon. Give him his tithe. That tweet has been amid a couple days of a good old-fashioned tweet storm from the champ. Mostly because a few days, like last week or a couple weeks ago, Michael Cohen, some of his tapes that he had been surreptitiously recording started leaking. So that got Trump a little upset. The Manafort trial has begun. And so he's sweating profusely and tweeting as profusely.
Will this change anything?
No, not at all.
That's great.
But
moving on.
It's a lot of fun. And the pretzel logic of collusion is not a crime, but we didn't do it. Although they did.
So
it's kind of amazing.
I think that we need to set up categories based on the tweets.
Okay.
This is not a new idea, but I feel very stupid that we haven't done it before. We just need to take it from our favorite heel managers, and we should classify every single tweet as something. So this is a wonderful Jesse Ventura heel commentator. It's not a crime. They didn't get caught, essentially. Or Ric Flair, always cheat to win.
Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan is clearly where I'm going with this, because to me, it's mostly been in the last month. It's not fair to Flair. It's not fair to Trump.
Right.
But this is not. It's not fair to Flair.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a different one. So we need to come up with our categorizations. I can't say that word well. And then we can have a fun sound bank with our favorite heel managers explaining the Trump tweets situation.
Yeah, like this next one I think seems more like a Bobby, The Body.
Okay.
Sounds like Jesse Ventura, especially latter day conspiracy theory Jesse Ventura. I'm not going to do the accent. I don't think I can do the whole thing in it. Russian collusion with the Trump campaign, one of the most successful in history, is a total hoax. The Democrats paid for, I can't do it. Democrats paid for the phony and discredited dossier, which was along with Comey, McCabe, Strzok, and his lover, the lovely Lisa Page, used to begin the witch hunt. Disgraceful.
Let me try to do it. I can't do it. Okay, so... No, see, that these are fun. We're having fun with everybody. It's a fun one. It's not just one type of tweet.
Right.
Which, he's showing his range.
He's got range. He's got the range. But what is the tweet where he refers to Alphonse Capone? Honestly, I feel like when he put Alphonse
Capone... This is Bruno Sammartino as a face not realizing he's saying heel shit.
Alphonse Capone was a man of honor. No, so it sounds like he took the first line from Wikipedia. Like, Alphonse, quote Al Capone. I really feel like he must have edited that.
When is the last time you had to write a history paper?
Many, many years ago.
Just, does this sound like what you maybe wrote when you were in sixth grade and you forgot to write your history paper until the period before? Yeah. Looking back on history...
There are many types of corn. The Indians called it maize. Yeah, no, this is really like...
All right, here's a tweet. Looking back on history, who was tweeted worse? Alphonse Capone?
Tweeted or treated worse?
Treated worse. I apologize. Looking back on history, who was... Oh, Jesus. Maybe if I can't do it as anybody else but myself. Looking back on history, who was treated worse? Alphonse Capone, legendary mob boss killer and, quote, public enemy number one, end quote, or Paul Manafort, political operative and Reagan/Dole darling... Now serving solitary confinement, although convicted of nothing. Where is the Russian collusion?
2 points on this tweet. First of all, is he referencing Public Enemy, the ECW just dirt worst tag team from the 90s? We've also done this whole... I don't know if we've ever talked about the FBI, the full-blooded Italians, the stable that existed.
We have never talked about this.
I know.
Did that not make the book?
Maybe not.
I think that made the book.
I know, well, because you can't be racist to Italians, Brandon. So, also... Serving solitary confinement. Let's take this. We had some big news on some sad news this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a rough weekend in the world of wrestling. Lost the Nikolai Volkov.
Yep.
I'm going to forget the there was a guy from NWA.
Yep.
Okay. I can't remember and that's disrespectful. And also Brian Christopher.
Son of Jerry the King Lawler.
Even though the gimmick in the 90s was that Lawler pretended that he was related, even though they look exactly alike, and it was definitely his son. Sad news, because he died, committed suicide in solitary confinement, which Paul Manafort hasn't, but it's only, 1246, so we don't know.
It's a real sad week for wrestling. We've gone over this. Nikolai Volkov is in our book quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Is he the most well-known Russian heel next to Rusev? Clearly, neither of them are from Russia.
Right.
But Rusev is a lot closer.
I mean, I think you put Volkov with the Koloffs and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a big. Just because the timeline, he runs with Hogan.
Right.
Therefore, he's bigger.
Yeah.
That's all. Sad week, yet again. But nothing. Literally, we could have done this episode for the last 3 years.
Yeah, the whole Russian collusion
thing. It's sad that these wrestlers died.
Yeah.
And Alphonse Capone was treated unfairly.
And the women's wrestling was created by Stephanie McMahon.
Moving on. There's been a lot of other stuff in the news this week, but not one of the things is new.
Right.
There's the Cohen tapes we've already discussed, the Manafort trial. Giuliani continues to pull out some wacky promos.
Yeah, has it been as wacky as when you saw him at the ECW arena?
Just as wacky. So in addition to seeing Giuliani at the ECW arena the week prior, I saw Bob Dole on the floor of the Republican National Convention, the only sitting presidential candidate to endorse Donald Trump. He looked very close to the end.
Yes.
And I'm trying to say this delicately. Rudy Giuliani is, I want to say, is the Enzo Amore of 2018.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's all we ever need to say about Rudy Giuliani over again. I think with our time crunch here, we should just get back onto the road to SummerSlam.
Oh, we got to do the Jim Jordan news.
All right.
Okay, so Jim Jordan, no one believes my conspiracy theory that Jim Jordan is going to run for Speaker of the House simply so he could appear at the next Republican National Convention with the cousin of The Rock, Roman Reigns, to put Roman Reigns over.
So this is a callback to a photo, and this is a podcast. So
from the 2000 Republican National Convention, Rock the Vote. The Rock was there trying to get people out to vote. He famously, in my world, famously appeared on stage at the Republican National Convention with now disgraced former Speaker of the House, Republican Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, who is also a real-life wrestling coach, Jim Jordan, former head of a university that dealt with wrestling teams, is currently under scandal because he didn't do enough to stop the abuse from the wrestling coach.
Yeah.
Roman and Rock are related. See, it all connects.
Sound like a crazy person.
Recording this in a room without any other sound makes it sound more insane.
Yeah, did you notice that a room padded for podcasts also looks like a mental institution? So Jim Jordan, yes, trying to bring back the Hastert rule where every GOP speaker must have helped or done the touching of wrestling boys. Moving on to the road to SummerSlam. Jim Jordan, one of the dumbest members of Congress. Road to SummerSlam. We're now about 18 days away, yeah. 19 days away.
Yeah. Looking great.
Yeah, last night on SmackDown, I got a clear picture over there. Mm-hmm. Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
Samoa Joe cutting my favorite promo of 2018.
Maybe close the show with that, because that's a good one.
So we'll close the show with Samoa Joe saying truthful things about a man.
Yes. Also continuing, we're getting to that Miz and Bryan program at SummerSlam.
Another perfect feud thus far.
Yes.
We're not going to play the promo because it's really a back and forth between two men for like 5 minutes, roughly.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I like about it so much. I'm not going to play the clips. It's easier to just summarize it. Daniel Bryan says, "You're never going to be The Rock. You're never going to be John Cena. I don't give a shit about your reality show. It doesn't matter how many people watch it the first week." And The Miz comes back with not anything about Daniel Bryan's reality show, because Daniel Bryan clearly does not give a shit about the reality show and he's on. Therefore, it wouldn't have made sense to bring that up. And Daniel Bryan couldn't say on WWE Permanent, "I don't care." That's brilliant. That's really smart. I like that this feud makes complete sense.
And it has for all the years that they've been running it and teasing it ever since the Talk Smack program. Mm-hmm. But it has, and they're referencing the long career that it took Daniel Bryan to get there and how. And I think Corbin's done this, too, in other feuds, where you go, like, you worked 10 years in bingo halls, I made a phone call.
Yeah.
And that's a really good heel tactic, and Miz does it great. That feud's going to be great. The women's picture over there, it got a little more complicated. They were telling a straightforward story that the fans want to see. They want to see Becky Lynch back in the title picture, back with the title. She's the purest baby face they have on the roster. Maybe all together.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah. They're telling a consistent story where week after week she was beating everybody in the division. And usually, WWE, you get a title match because you beat the champion in a non-title match. It's very strange. So they've actually told a story where she's just checking off the boxes. Charlotte comes back from injury and saves her, much like Hulk Hogan saved Bret Hart from Yokozuna. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's the big footing of it. And now it's a triple threat, which I think is just to get around the fact that anybody plus Carmella is just going to be crappy because Carmella's not any good.
So much better in the last few months, though.
I know, but it's still not a marquee match. And I think they want to, with the WWE triple threat style, you throw Carmella out, she lies outside the match. Whether they want to keep the belt on her or off, she doesn't have to do much of the wrestling. And you can have two of your best wrestlers go at it. Good to see Charlotte back. Recovering from...
Yeah, did we talk about this yet?
No, she had surgery, a ruptured breast implant that she worked through at Mania, which is insane.
It's nuts.
But she's a pro.
Yeah.
And the tag picture, the Usos and the Bar had a great match. Bar and New Day will have a great match on Tuesday. Whoever wins will have a 5-minute...
Is it fair to say that you're back on the SmackDown as the A-Show train?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Yeah. The Raw is kind of unwatched, but it was good this week that we got to see Brock Lesnar reading magazines.
We did. It was a real magazine that I thought was fake until I looked it up.
Frontiersman and Backwoodsman.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe, I'd say, are the two most believable male wrestlers in WWE.
Yeah.
And then number three would be like Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And then there's really no equivalent in the women's division except Becky.
Right,
Becky's the only one that makes sense.
She's the only one who comes off as a person. Mm-hmm. The character comes off as a human, and uses human logic. And Brock's logic is great. He
likes money.
He reads magazines. He hates watching Raw.
Tell me, you heard what Roman Reigns said about you?
Obviously, I didn't, Paul.
I don't watch the show, Paul. Why would I watch the show?
And he despises wrestling fans. He's not the heel. He's us.
AJ Styles. Now, AJ, what I did to you last week, well, that was me sending a message, and I think you're more than familiar with my favorite forms of communication. So I'm sure there's no hard feelings. Now, AJ, the truth be told, I respect you. AJ Styles, the truth be told, I respect the house that you've built, and I respect the fact that you've made the title the most prestigious in the WWE. AJ Styles, I respect the grind, and I respect what you sacrifice to be what you are. You see, you put everything behind being champion. You put champion in front of friends. You put champion in front of your vices. In fact, you've put being champion even in front of being a member of your own family. Which I find kind of funny, because last week, AJ, you came out here and you told me a marvelous, lovely tale about how now you can stare your lovely daughter in her eyes and you can say, you can be anything you put your mind to. But AJ, I've known you a long, long time, and I know the truth. And the fact is, you're barely home long enough to hug your child, let alone look at her lovingly in her eye. No, but it's part of the sacrifice, you see. You see, AJ Styles, the truth is, in your heart, you know, you feel much more comfortable being on the road and living out of a suitcase than you ever have being a husband to your wife. It's the sacrifice, AJ. I understand, I get it. Because you see, AJ Styles, you, my friend, you have put being a champion above all else, even if it means you're a failure as a father. Yeah, it hurts, I know. But AJ, don't worry, because for all your sacrifice, for the fact that you work your fingers to the bone, the fact that you train like an animal to be WWE champion, I am coming soon and I will take it all from you. Because the truth is, AJ, come SummerSlam, when the whole world is cheering you on to victory, secretly, AJ, your family and their realest of feelings, they'll be cheering for me. Because after I'm done tearing down your house, after I'm done putting you to sleep, oh, your wife and kids, they'll have their daddy back. But I will be WWE champion.